Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, welcome to the Whisker Report, the only pet podcast that exclusively focuses on PR and marketing. If you're a pet business or an animal welfare nonprofit, we are here to help you. Hello, everyone. Again, I am Mary Tan, and I am joined across the pond with my colleague, Alexandra Card, who is also part of the Whisker Media Pet Public Relations team. Bonjour, Alexandre.
Bonjour, tout le monde. We're so excited about this show today. So we're having a special person with us. It's an amazing cat furniture company that I think have been around longer than I have actually been alive. So that's going to be fun. But first of all, I'd like to introduce you to Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio. Our producer is going to get us to you each and every week. How are you, Mark, today?
Hi, guys. I'm good this week. And being a PR podcast, you'll appreciate this. One of our shows, Covered in Pet Hair, had a big feature article in Mount Pleasant magazine. So a lot of publicity. We're really excited about that. And I spent the rest of the week, as you can see from my background, I am a music producer too. So I've been working on your show theme all week. So that'll be happening soon.
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh my God. Can you give us like a little tidbit about like what kind of feel it's going to have?
It'll be something contemporary.
Oh, okay. Because we are so contemporary.
We are. Onward and upward.
Well, we are so honored to be part of the Pet Life Radio Network. I encourage you to check out their other shows. And again, I want to reiterate, this show is about you. It is here to help you learn more about PR and marketing so you can do it yourself, because we know not everyone has the resources to hire a big PR agency. And we really care about animals at Whisker Media, and we really want to help you out.
Yeah. And so today we're having Daryl Michelson, the owner and founder of Purniture, Cat Furniture, a small business based in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I think, Daryl, you started your business in your garage, but you can tell us all about it. Welcome to the show. Please tell us how it all started.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. It actually started in my basement of a house that I was renting when I was 23 years old. And it began when I had adopted a couple of kittens and I was in the market for some cat furniture. And I realized that there's really not a whole lot of well-made, reasonably priced cat furniture. And being handy, I figured I'd make my own. But my approach was to go out on a Saturday morning and scrounge up the wood, as opposed to drawing out some kind of blueprint and buying the lumber. So I drove around behind warehouse buildings and collected a pile of lumber, spent all day Saturday creating the framework. And the framework, I thought in my mind, should just have steps, so levels where they could lay down and get up and down easier, and then tall scratching areas so that they could stretch when they want to do their scratching. So it was a whole weekend project of building it all day Saturday and then upholstering it on Sunday. And on Sunday, I actually upholstered it in my living room. And that's where I realized that the skill set needed for cat furniture is really in the upholstering. It has to have a seamless appearance in the end. And I stood there scratching my head with this big single piece of carpet, wondering how am I going to get it to configure around all of these posts and all these platforms and whatnot. So it was a learning experience from minute one, really.
That's incredible. And you're going to tell us way more, but we're just going to take a quick break and then we can hear more about your whole story after this quick message.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps for more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Daryl Michelson of Furniture Cat Furniture. Daryl, you hired Whisker Media, I believe, back in 2018. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were going through and what some of your marketing and PR challenges were?
Sure. Well, I actually built my very first one in 1990, doing it for a year as a hobby. I launched the business in 1991, and it took a few years for it to get a life of its own. But in the mid-teens of, 2010 through basically 2018, I realized that I had hit a plateau that I just couldn't get over. And I thought to myself, I've tried things like having brochures in vet clinics, working with apartment buildings to see if I could put brochures in their lobby. But I thought, I need a professional. And it's now time to invest in people who know more about that area. So that's when Mary came along.
Yeah. So basically, I just went to his store because I loved it. And I said, hey, I'm a PR person. This was boots on the ground. This was like back in 2018, 2019. And I said, you know what? I think I can really, really help you. And at the time, Daryl, you were actually kind of cynical of agencies and that sort of thing. Can you tell us what happened with the original marketing agency that you hired?
Yeah. Well, first of all, one of the things I knew I needed was a good website, but I didn't really appreciate how much a website that's good costs. So I would like ask my son, who was pretty good on the computer, to build it. And of course, children of a shoemaker go shoeless. So it really wasn't coming along. And, I was basically just spinning my wheels. And again, thinking I need to get into basically invest in the marketing and PR, I contracted, well, there weren't a couple, but they were a team, partners, two, a man and a woman. And they were going to build the website, and they were going to do the marketing, and they're going to charge me $1,000 a month. And it just was a disaster because the one website I was working with was entertaining, but it was not commerce friendly. And they destroyed that website in the attempt to make a better website. And it just dragged on for months. And then I got to a point where I realized these guys really aren't going to deliver. And honoring my word, I signed a year contract with them. But after about the eighth month, I knew that this wasn't going to go anywhere. And that's when Mary had contacted me, and I had let her know that I'm still stuck in the contract situation, but as soon as this is over, we'll talk. And everything changed as soon as we started talking with her.
Yeah, and this was a good example of where, at the end of it, Daryl spent $12,000, is that correct? And you got nothing for your business. So this talks about when you do hire contractors, the importance of vetting them.
Yes.
Because you hadn't checked out with any. How did you find them?
Well, I was doing some advertising on local cable, and the salesman, the representative from them, was in networking meetings. And he actually was urging me to attend the meetings too. But I had never attended the meeting, but he said he knows this great team and they'll be great for you. So I basically trusted his word and I just rolled with it. I didn't really even meet with them more than once before we were signing a contract and talking about how great the future is going to be. And it actually went backwards because the site I did have was at least informational. And then they tore that down to where I had no site for months.
And can you talk about that? That was devastating, right? I mean, you're a small business. Mm-hmm. Money's tight. And did you do any kind of ramifications to try to get some of your money back or anything?
No, I just honored my contract. I figured there's no use in wasting energy trying to get money back from a couple who clearly probably aren't going to be in business very long, if they were even in business for very long to begin with. But it did set me back about a year and a half without any way of looking at my products without an actual paper brochure.
Right. So yeah, that's just kind of, Alex, don't you agree, like the importance of vetting? And actually, I feel like 99% of the time when you hire contractors, it's because it's somebody you know. Wouldn't you agree, Alex?
Yeah, definitely. And I actually had a question for Daryl. What made you trust Mary? Like, what in her approach made you believe that she might do a better job than that team? Because you must have been very scared of starting with someone else after that experience.
That's a great question. Because of that experience, when Mary came to my store, she came with a friend of hers, and I immediately saw them as another team. And I was more skeptical. I asked tougher questions. And even Mary got the impression that I was resistant to moving forward with her. But it wasn't that at all. It was, okay, Mary, after I invest thousands of dollars to do my website, what are you going to do? And then she laid out, well, once the website's done, we'll get you going on Google. We'll get you going on some podcasts. We'll do the stuff that should have been going on for years now. Because at that point in the game, I'd been in business over 25 years. And I was doing okay, but I knew that there was a new level that I could achieve. It's just, how do I get there from here? So I was much more tough on Mary with the questions.
Yeah, well, that's good. I think that's what you needed to do after that experience. But do you feel like Whisker Media and Mary in general helped you reach the target audience you really wanted to reach?
Absolutely. Yes. It took about 3 months to rebuild the website. And as soon as it was up and running, I was getting orders from like the first hour. And she had put me on a couple of podcasts from there. And then we worked on a good Google ad campaign. She got me some television. I've been on television a bunch of times, but this was more of a constructed interview as opposed to just out of the blue. So yeah, it's really, my sales increased by about 40% once everything was in place. And I'm now at the point of where I wanted to be from the days I was dreaming of what the potential for this could be. And it's just been riding really nice for about 4 years, 5 years now.
That's so nice to hear. That's so nice.
Well, I think it's time for a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the strategy that Whisker Media uses to promote furniture.
Cat furniture is supposed to be a jungle gym. Most cat furniture hardly passes as a plant stand. So I set out to build my own.
Daryl Michelson, owner of Furniture Cat Furniture.
My cats absolutely loved it, and then that changed everything. We are using 4x4 posts, and we are also using what are called cores, which are half-inch thick tubes.
You can see the furniture difference online at furniture.com. That's P-U-R-R-N-I-T-U-R-E.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we are back. And now, I think it's a great question. So Mary always tells me, Alex, you've got to turn lemons into lemonade. That's her saying. She always tells me that. And I know that that's what she does a lot with furniture. So my question is, I think something quite bad happened to furniture a couple of months ago, but I think Mary and Whisker Media in general, we managed to turn it into something a little bit better. So if you could just tell me about that story.
Yes, actually there's two situations. A couple years back, I think it was 2022, I had a trailer parked behind my building. It was completely full of logos, all four sides, and it ended up getting stolen. And I thought to myself, well, you know, what can you do? Hopefully I'll spot it, but it's just, I lost it. And I was talking to Mary about it, and she said that would be a news story. And I thought, why would the news care about a company losing its trailer? But she reached out to all the local stations, and there's four stations in our area here, and three of them did stories on the trailer. And one of the three actually did a 10-minute feature story on the business. And in that story, somebody suggested that I start a GoFundMe page for the trailer, which ended up bringing in all the money that I had spent to buy the trailer in the first place. So talk about making lemonades out of lemon. Even today, I will have customers ask me if I have ever gotten my trailer back. And it was stolen going on 3 years. It'll be 3 years in September when I lost it. That was the first one. The second one was just a couple months back. Overnight, somebody had thrown a pretty good sized rock, about a 3-inch diameter rock, through one of the store windows. And again, I was just telling Mary that I have a broken window. And again, she says, well, that's a news story. And I thought, a news story about a rock being thrown through a window is just baffling to me. But sure enough, she sent out the emails and two of the stations came by and did a story on it. And on that note, I've been around so long. I have a lot of loyal customers. I have kind of a fan base. I could even say kind of a cult following. And I got a check in the mail about a week later from a customer for $50 that he said, I don't need any furniture, but here's some money to help you move forward with the setback of having a broken window.
Yeah, I want to jump in here. This is a technique called newsjacking, and any business or nonprofit can use it. I use it all the time. I used it on Daryl. And what you can do is, I'm going to give you an example of newsjacking. So that's inserting yourself in the story. In Daryl's case, Daryl was the news. Daryl had news. And when the media is covering stories, they love crime. Anything bad, anything terrible gets eyeballs. And so they, you know, just the fact that he has a cat furniture store is not a news story. So newsjacking is inserting yourself into the story. And another example would be when all the hurricanes are happening down south, an animal rescue or animal welfare group could insert themselves, especially if they are taking animals in from the south, because that's a connection to the national story. Another thing, this may not be animal related, but to give you an example, is when there is, you know, the Ukraine war is going on with Russia. Here in Minnesota, there's volunteers going through the Red Cross or wherever, wanting to help the people displaced by the war. That's a news story. That's called newsjacking. And I encourage everyone to use it. Anyone can use it. Even, you know, pet product companies. I'm going to say, of course, the 4th of July, if you have a CBD product, if you have a thunder shirt or anything, a calming, that's another way to insert yourself into the story. Call up your local media and say, I can give you tips on animal anxiety and that sort of thing. And combine that with like a digital presence and you're gold. And a media hit is thousands and thousands of viewers and listeners. Wouldn't you agree, Alexan? Can you talk a little bit more about the social and the digital impact?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. I remember, Daryl, we saw they came to your store, the news, they came to your store and they interviewed. I think you were not there when the rock was thrown, but one of your employees was there. So she gave an interview, if I'm right. And I think that was shared on social media a lot. And that brought a lot of new customers, like local customers, local people were quite shocked about what happened. And they wanted to support you because you're a small local business. So that being shared on the news, but also on social media, it's reaching more and more people.
Absolutely. Daryl, what would be like your number one complaint about working with people like Alex Lott and I, who are the creative types? Do you think that they understand in the end, you've got to make a profit?
I don't know. That's kind of a hard question to answer. So many benefits have come from working with you. I find it hard to have any criticism. If there was anything I could say is there are times when you tell me I need to innovate or I need to change things faster than what's possible. So for instance, I have been waiting on new space in my building to open up so that I can move my production area into a more comfortable spot, but that will also allow me to expand my store. My store will triple in size. And what I see right now is the congestion of too much product and not enough room for customers. So on a busy day, there will be 3-4 sets of customers in there, and they're all doing a little bit of a dance to avoid each other, but still see the product. And sometimes I'll lose the customer because it's just not comfortable to them. There's an anxiety of sharing the space with complete strangers. So I have been waiting on this new space for months. There's a lot of red tape with the tenant who's in there. And the way I see it is you got to have patience. You got to have the delayed gratification, because once this space opens up, it's going to make a world of difference. But it is frustrating too, because I've been waiting for over a year, and I'm not in a position to just pull out and go find new space, because in a whole new building, because there's a lot of little details there that would be extremely expensive. And I know, for instance, that I have a sweetheart of a deal on the rent where I'm at, and that would go away. So haste would make waste. So sometimes we're having the conversation and she's telling me to like call the landlord and tell them to hurry up. And it's like, it's not the landlord's fault. It's just not meant to be at the moment.
Yeah, that's one thing I have to talk about is like, and Alex, you can address this too. A lot of times we want to move fast. We, and most agencies, marketing, PR, whatever, like, you've hired us, so we want to give you results. So we want you to move faster. And I'll say it's been kind of an education, because ultimately the sales and profit and all that does have an impact on how we do our jobs. Would you agree with that, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And working so closely with Daryl is really nice, because, you know, as a really small business, we can see which strategy works and which one doesn't work as well, because we see a direct result. Daryl sees his sales going up or not moving. So we really know with him, okay, this is working, this is not working as well. So that is the really big benefit of working so closely with Daryl, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm just going to point this out, that Daryl is always sending us emails if like he gets the Google Analytics reports and not enough eyeballs have clicked or seen. Like, we hear about it, right, Alex?
Yeah, that's very helpful, because then we know, okay, we need to change that. You know, I think to have like a partnership, because when we work with our client, it's more of a partnership. We all want to be successful together. So if there's like really open communication and they really tell us, well, oh, look at that, that got result. Oh, that didn't. Then we can improve as well. And we can work closer together to make this campaign or this, you know, a couple months of working together a big success, because that's at the end of it, that's what we want.
And so the key takeaways for this episode for the people listening at home, what would you say one is, Daryl?
Well, vet your marketing and PR people. You know, ask the tough questions, ask for specific goals to work towards. And yeah, I will send an email of a report that's possibly disappointing, but I also send emails that are extremely successful. We did have a Google problem where I was getting a lot of eyeballs, like 30,000 eyeballs in a month, but the clicks were like less than a dozen. So something went wrong there. And I talked to Alex and Mary about it. And it turned out that Alex was able to figure out that there was some demographic problems going on. And her adjustment on that lowered the eyeballs by about half, but the clicks went up immensely, back to the hundreds, like 1,500. So I might have 15,000 eyeballs and then 1,500 clicks into the website, which, you know, what's 30,000 eyeballs matter if nobody's doing anything?
Exactly, yeah. And I have one last question for you, Daryl. For all of the people listening to us, you know, there might be a couple that have like a really good idea of a business, especially pet businesses, but they just don't know how to start, where to start. So what would be your tip for those like entrepreneurs? Like, what would be something you would tell them just as a little advice on when you started in your basement and you did it? Like, just something for them.
Well, I think the main thing is to not overspend thinking that you're going to get results. So when I first started this, I was doing every little street fair, pet fair, cat show, anything that got, we have a farmer's market in Minneapolis. I got a booth at the farmer's market. So I'm down there at 6 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday mornings with the spread of cat furniture surrounded by vegetables and flowers and plants. But it was only like $200 a month to have a spot there, and it totally paid for itself. And then it took me about 5 years of being in business before I could afford to have a brochure, and I bought a big truck. So it's really about delayed gratification and setting small goals and really the grassroots of how do you get people to see your product without you having to overspend on it? Because frankly, money isn't the answer. It's really about time. You have to allow it time.
All right. Any last thoughts, Alex?
No, I think that was amazing. Thank you so much for all of your answers and advice.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this show. Remember, we are here to help you. If you have a question or a concern and want to reach out and ask us, we would love to help you. Or if you want to be a guest, reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. We're under The Whisker Report. And as we always end the show,
bark loud and purr smart.
Bye, everyone.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.